Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 306. McBonigle here with you on this Thursday morning, 888-808-1019. Breaking down the Yankees Game 2 victory. Getting ready for game number 3. Win or go home. Game number 3 wild card series, Yankees Red Sox. I mean, this is where it's at, man. I know we had this in 21 in Fenway. I was there, ironically enough, with Evan again. So he drove us down to Boston. It was an interesting day. No need to get into all the particulars. I was driving around looking for a COVID test. Interesting day. Not my favorite of days. Driving around Boston looking for a immediate COVID test. Not fun. Not my finest day. And then plus the Yankees get their ass kicked in the wild card game. So we haven't seen this since 21. This feels a little bit different because it's a series. I know that's a one game, you know, game 7 type. I get it. Do or die, those old wild card, the one game wild card. But it didn't have the element of having games prior. Like this, I know it's a 3-game set and not a 5 or a 7 game set, but like there are different things to break down. There, these two games did create a feeling. We have like a distinct, you know, takeaway from these two games heading into it. There's history, there's plays, there's things that led us to this game number 3 tonight. This is what it's all about, man. I am so pumped for tonight. I cannot tell you, but let's get to. Real quick, before we get back to the calls, let's talk about game number 3 and break down what we think the lineup should be, because that's, you know, we love to manage along with the manager. God knows we do. We all think we're better than Aaron Boone. We all think we can come up with the solutions. We know exactly who to go to in the bullpen and when to pull a pitcher and when to leave him in. We all know. We know all these answers. It's easy in hindsight after something happens, and if something good happens, we never remember it or care to mention it, but even on a night where I'm killing Boone, even on a night where I thought I was going to be talking about firing him, I have to defend him. It's a sickness. I'll give it to you. I'll admit it. It's a sickness. Because you hate him so much, it drives me nuts. Anyway, what should he do with the lineup in game number 3? So, obviously, you heard in the clip there, there's every expectation Jazz is going to be starting at second base. 100%. 100%. 100%. Here are the thoughts, though. Going into this game, you're getting a young kid in early, left-hander. As you said, Boone said he's kind of neutral. It's a 4-game, 4-start sample size. It's almost impossible to get a real feel for what kind. I mean, does he have a wipeout slider that would make you feel like lefties would have a problem? He called him neutral. Looking at the lineup, there's a couple of interesting things. There's a couple of interesting things to debate here. You know that he's not going to stay in the game long, right? You got a real feeling, unless he's dominant, which would be unfortunate for the Yankees, But outside of him just shoving and throwing, you know, four no-hit innings or something like that, I would imagine Alex Cora is going to have a quick hook. He's got a deep bullpen. They were all rested in game one. And the way he managed game two, I'm sure he'll manage the same way in game three and be uber aggressive with his bullpen. So you know that even though you're putting out a left-handed lineup, or a lineup against left-handed pitching, should I say, a right-handed lineup, or, you know, you're facing a left-handed pitcher, that you really can't base how you're going to put the lineup together solely on the starting pitcher because you don't expect them to be in the game very long. So to me, there's a couple of questions. Ben Rice, right? Excellent. The guy has been unbelievable the last month. Has a great game last night, two-run home run. Him or Goldschmidt, right? That's a question. I don't know if you can put him at catcher. It's not the same as Max Fried. Cam Schlittler has thrown a ton to Ben Rice. It's not the same dynamic. He's not your ace. They haven't worked together exclusively pretty much the way Max Fried and Wells did. But you do kind of want your best defensive catcher. He did just get the big hit that won them the game. Like, I would think you go with Ben Rice. Right? I would think you go with Ben Rice. Now, Goldschmidt, I'm sorry. I think you'd go with Wells at catcher. I would think you want your best catcher. I can't imagine the Yankees and Boone not doing that. So then it comes down to Goldschmidt or Rice at first base. There is a part of me that says, hey, you've got this young kid on the mound. Do or die game three at Yankee Stadium, literally the first time ever pitching on the road in a major league ballpark, because the two games he started on the road this year, one was in the Yankee spring training facility where the Tampa Bay Rays were playing this year, and the other one was in Sacramento against the A's, which is a minor league baseball park. He is yet to pitch in a major league ballpark outside of Fenway. Do I want to start Paul Goldschmidt knowing very well that within an inning, do I start Goldschmidt, hit him leadoff, and make it as difficult as possible for this young kid, hoping I can jump on him and give my rookie starter a little bit of breathing room? Do I want to really sell out and make it as difficult for Early as I can? Do I start Paul Goldschmidt, hit him leadoff, make sure I get that at bat, Paul Goldschmidt versus Early, knowing full well once you get to the bullpen, which should be relatively quickly, you're talking about Ben Rice having two, possibly even still three at-bats when you decide to go to him. Do I want to waste Paul Goldschmidt like that? That's what you're weighing. You're weighing the idea of making it as difficult as possible on this young rookie starter and trying to jump on him and putting Paul Goldschmidt leadoff and making sure I have one of the best hitters I have against left-handed pitching at the top of the order? Or do I start Ben Rice knowing that, yes, it's a lefty, but he's a neutral lefty. He's not a lefty I don't think Ben Rice can hit. And then once they get into the bullpen, I'd rather have Ben Rice, and I'll always have Paul Goldschmidt as a right-handed bat off the bench with a very heavy left-handed bullpen of the Boston Red Sox. Then you get to third base and Ryan McMahon. Obviously great defender. Did get a hit last night. Has not hit a lick the entire last month. Do you just say, I'm willing to start Rosario against the left-handed pitcher against McMahon, again, thinking I want to make it as difficult as I can for this young left-handed starter. Even though I know it's going to be a bullpen game eventually, if I put out all my best right-handed hitters, I want to jump on this kid. And I could put Rosario in the lineup over McMahon and play him at third base. This isn't the same thing as Max Fried getting a bunch of ground balls to third base as a left-handed starter. Like, this is Cam Schlittler, right-handed starter, throwing 100 miles an hour. I'm not expecting as many ground balls to the left side as I do with Max Fried and Carlos Rodon. I just don't. Doesn't mean it can't happen, and I do want my best defensive team out there. But do I play Rosario over McMahon? Those are the questions for me. What do they do at first base? What do they do at third base? Grisham's playing center field. There's no doubt about that. Jazz is going to be your starting second baseman, and I'd be surprised if they stay if they go away from Wells at catcher. I'd be surprised. I think you should play Wells at catcher. I want my best defensive catcher back there. I feel like you need that in these games. So what do you do at first and third? My gut tells me I got to play Ben Rice. I want Ben Rice at first base. I'll have Paul Goldschmidt. It's not like I'm never going to see another lefty. If it was the Yankee bullpen where all they have is Tim Hill out there, I'd be more inclined to start Paul Goldschmidt, make sure I get him the at-bat against the lefty, and then take my chances once the lefty's out going to Ben Rice and knowing I've lost Paul Goldschmidt for either defense or a pinch hitting spot. But because there are so many lefties in that bullpen, and I feel like you're going to see a lot of you could see left-handed pitching late, and their closer, Chapman, who might be pitching two innings or at least an inning plus late in this game, I want to make sure I have the option of Paul Goldschmidt off the bench, and I probably feel the same way about Rosario as well. I think my gut is to just play the same lineup they played last night. Play Wells behind the plate, play Ben Rice at first base, play McMahon at third base, play Jazz at second, play Grisham in center, and have my right-handed batters ready to go off the bench, have Caballero ready to go for a pinch run, play defense replacement, have Paul Goldschmidt as a late defensive replacement at first base for Ben Rice or a pinch hit right-handed bat off of the tough left-handed relievers that the Red Sox have. I think my indication is to just go with my usual everyday lineup or what has my best lineup in it. I don't think it's crazy for Rosario for McMahon. I don't think that's crazy, but I still think that's probably not what I would do. I would roll out the same lineup I rolled out last night, hope that they can get to this young kid, have my right-handed bats ready for pinch hit stuff late, have my best defender in Goldschmidt ready to go pinch and play defense late in the game, and not waste him by trying to use him early against early, if that makes sense. What do you think? How should the Yankees handle? That's what I said. Go with what they did last night. That would be my vote for that, how they handle the lineup in game number 3 tonight. 888-808-1019. Let's go to David in Port Washington. What's up, David?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering. In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
David, you're on the line.
Hello?
Hello, David.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay, brother. I appreciate your knowledge to the game of baseball.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. I'm 65, born and raised in Whitestone, Queens, so obviously was a Mets fan.
Mm-hmm.
First game I saw 64, they lost. A shocker, huh? Anyway, in 69, the Mets, nobody thought the Mets were going to win. In 69, nobody thought the Jets were going to win. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like the fact that you had said that don't sleep on the Mets, because the Mets can come back and crush everybody.
That's exactly what I said. Up until the final game, I thought they were going to the postseason. And if they got there, I think they would have given the Dodgers a better run than the Reds just did, that's for sure.
I'm tore up about that. But listen, all these guys, all these teams in the postseason, they're trying their heart out to get that World Series title. That's what it's all about.
Okay? Of course.
Whoever wants it the most is going to get it, period. Right, the Yankees, like the Anthony Volpe, they were bashing him a month ago. He's a piece of crap. Da 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 da. He's doing pretty well right now. All right.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for 2 days ago, he would have been the star as far as I'm concerned. Because when the bases were loaded, and who did they bring in? Chapman, I believe. Strikeout. If I'm not mistaken. Right.
Oh, no. They didn't bring in Chapman. Chapman gave up three singles to load the bases, and then he got strikeout, fly ball, strikeout.
I'm sorry. That's correct. But, good pitching is going to beat good hitting. You know, that's what Edwin Diaz in the Mets, he shuts them down. He comes in 90% of the time, you're done.
Right.
He comes in, you know. The Yankees, they're going to do it. They're going to win. Listen, I'm a New York fan, period. But they're going to win tomorrow. I know they are.
Well, let's hope so, David. I'm with you. And, yeah, I mean, good pitching is tough. I always laugh at this. I do. Because, of course, yeah, do you want to, you know, score a ton of runs off good pitching? Sure. But, like, when they say, oh, they don't hit good pitching, well, how do we know it's good pitching? How do we know what good pitching is? Because nobody hits it. Go back to the dynasty Yankees, right, that we all love and compare them to. Did they score a ton of runs off of Pedro Martinez? Did they just pound Pedro in any game ever? Outside of when he was a Philly in the 09 World Series? Like, when did they ever pound Pedro Martinez? Or what happened in the 2001 World Series against Schilling and against the big unit? I'm sorry, did they score a ton of runs off those guys? Like, they never hit good pitching. Nobody hits good pitching. That's how we know it's good. Like, yeah, you don't want to be completely shut down and have, you know, Garrett Crochet, you know, retire 17 in a row. But if you think you're going to score six runs off of Garrett Crochet, good luck. Nobody's going to. You got to play a good game against Garrett Crochet to win. You got to be able to pitch. You got to play defense. You got to get the big hits when you can. And that's why, like everyone says, you got to play small ball. It's not about... You know, it's not just about home runs. I think that game one is the perfect example why you need home runs. How many singles did they get against good pitching? They got two singles in the first inning, led to nothing. Then they got three singles in the ninth. Great. Someone's got to put one in the gap, or someone's got to put one over the seat. How many singles do you think you're going to get against the 102 throwing, you know, Chapman?
You want a fun small ball stat?
Yes.
So we were talking earlier about how obviously one of the moments that swung this game in favor of the Yankees was Rafael being asked to bunt and popping it up.
Correct.
In the first eight games so far of the playoffs, I went through and counted all of the sacrifice bunts from these teams that tell us all year, hey, you fans are idiots for thinking a bunt should ever be a good idea.
Right.
Then magically in the playoffs, they decide to do them. 10 sacrifice bunts in eight games. Take a guess at how many led to runs being scored.
Because you're a like-minded thinker like me and we're playing this exercise, I'm thinking it's not many. So let's say 10 bunts led to 3 runs.
Five. Well, so five instances in which a run scored.
Five instances in which a run scored.
So at only half, 50. I'm sorry. And like we know, tonight in the Red Sox, they went one for two.
Killed the inning. Absolutely killed the inning for them. No doubt.
And one of it, like, I mean, it's picking nits. One of them, if you're watching the Padres, Cubs, Arise drops that, you know, the best contact hitter in the sport.
Yep.
He lays down a sacrifice bunt. Machado hits a home run on the next pitch. So
yeah, that doesn't
not really playing small ball after that. But
right, right.
Yeah, 10 sacrifice bunts only worked half of the time.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think, well, did the first one even matter? Like, I'm trying to think.
Well, the runner ended up getting on base because that's when Rodon made the throwing error.
Right. But even, like, I guess the bunt worked because even if they throw him out at first base, the base hit scores the two runs. That's all they scored because they ended up getting
right.
Double
so
play.
If you play it out after that, Ref Snyder strikes out, and then Story's hit would have been a two-run single with second and third, two out, instead of bases loaded, one out.
Right. Look, I'm not saying there's no place for bunts or small ball, and I'm not saying you don't need to come through with big two-out hits. I'm just saying, look at the ninth inning, look at the first inning of game number one. How many hits do you really think you're going to get against top-level pitching? Like, how many hits do you think you're going to get? What's more likely against an ace-level pitcher? Four singles for two runs or a walk and a blast? That's how you score. That's how you score. They need to hit home runs tomorrow. That's it. You need to hit home runs. You need to score. They're going to have to do that tomorrow against the Boston Red Sox. Let's go to Danny in Staten Island. What's up, Danny?
Yo, what's going on, pal?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm working right now. But listen, I don't think you should take Ben Rice out of the lineup at all. Ben Rice has to catch because these two guys have history with each other in minor league ball. He caught this pitcher. In minor league ball, so they have some history.
I'm not saying they don't have history. I said he's caught plenty of Ben Rice. I mean, Ben Rice has caught plenty of Cam Schlittler. I admitted that. He's not the better defensive catcher, though.
Yeah, but
I don't think it's the same. Where, like, I'm nervous about the ace starter throwing against the pitcher he hasn't been that familiar with. I don't think it's the same Cam Schlittler throwing to Wells. I don't think that's going to make Rice makes Cam Schlittler a better pitcher. I don't think there's such a rapport that I'm nervous about throwing Wells back there the way I am about nervous about throwing Rice behind the ace. Like, I think Cam Schlittler will be fine throwing to Wells, and Wells is the better defensive catcher. He's better at pitch framing. He's better at controlling the running game. He's just a better defensive catcher.
Yeah, no, I hear that, and I know that. But I think if we put Goldschmidt at first base and have Wells DH, who's going to DH then? If you know what I'm saying, if Wells is at first at catching, and Rice is at first base, who's going to DH?
Giancarlo Stanton.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So we leave Giancarlo
and
just put I'd put Rice behind the plate because you can't take that kid's bat out of the lineup.
That's why I play him at first base, and I take Paul Goldschmidt out of the lineup. Like last night,
yeah.
And I have him for. I'm not taking. You know, I was listening to Pat Boyle do the post game, and he was just throwing stuff out to Emmanuel in their segment, and he was just saying about the lineup. Well, do you think this? Do you think that? Do you think there's a chance? You know, we could see Dominguez in center field, or you know, I don't know, something else because we've seen the struggles against left-handed pitching for Grisham, or like he was just throwing out stuff. And one of the things he threw out was, you know, Giancarlo struggling to fit Ben Rice in the lineup and Paul Goldschmidt. Could you see a DH situation between the two of them? Like you just suggested, the caller. No. No. Giancarlo Stanton's my DH. I don't care what happened. He's my DH. He's their guy. He's been a great postseason performer. I can't even imagine not having Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup as long as he's healthy. So, no, I'm not doing that. Nope. Giancarlo Stanton, I don't care. He doesn't have a hit in the series. It's two games. It's two games. And he struggled. I'm not saying he hasn't. And he's put the ball on the ground a lot, which is dangerous with runners on because he literally doesn't run. So he is the greatest double play candidate in the history of the world. Like, there might not be another guy more suited to hit into a double play considering how hard he hits the ball and how little he runs. So that makes me nervous, especially when he's putting the ball on the ground as much as he's been. I still can't not have Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup. I don't care. So it's either Ben Rice at catcher, Ben Rice at first, or Ben Rice on the bench. That's it. I put him at first. I just, in a game seven scenario, I know it's game three, but in a game seven scenario, win or go home, am I really going to risk putting a subpar? And I maybe that's a bit strong for Ben Rice because I think he's done a nice job, but like I got to put my best defensive catcher out there. He just did get the game-winning base hit down the line, didn't he? Like, I would be really hard-pressed. He got two hits in this game. He got a base hit going the other way, and he got the game-winning double, which should have been a double. He was standing at first base at the end of the play. But, like, he just got the big hit. He's my best defensive catcher. I have a real tough time taking out. If they do it, they do it. That is the better offensive lineup, there's no doubt. Ben Rice behind the plate, Paul Goldschmidt at first, the best offensive lineup they could put together, really. And then you put Rosario at third for a left-handed starting pitcher. That's overall the best offensive starting lineup they could put together. I don't see it. I don't see them not going to Wells at catcher. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Quick break. Continue to break down last night. Continue to get and look ahead for tonight. As in, listen, this is it. And this isn't, you know, it's a Yankees do or die game, but it's not just a Yankees do or die game against the Toronto Blue Jays or the Cleveland Guardians or the Kansas City Royals or anybody else. This is the Boston Red Sox. This is, Yankees can't lose this game. Yankees can't lose.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Who's this game?
Have something to say? Dial us 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 334 on this Thursday morning, as we get looking forward to later today. And I mean, let me give you the schedule for today. Today, if you are a baseball fan And it's going to suck for me because I am a baseball fan, but I am also an overnight. Well, 3 o'clock. I'll be able to get up for 3 o'clock. So today's schedule for the baseball fan. There's nothing better than game sevens, right? In sports. I know this is technically game threes, but you know what I mean. Do or die games. Today at 3 o'clock. Detroit at Cleveland. Cleveland rallied yesterday to come back, tie the series up. Detroit at Cleveland at 3 o'clock. San Diego with a big home run from Manny Machado. Won game number two. San Diego at Chicago. Hugh Darvish versus our very own Jameson Taillon. Oof. At 5 o'clock, and then, of course, Yankees and Sox tonight, 8 o'clock. Connelly Early and Cam Schlittler. Oh, I forgot. And Jack Flaherty going for Detroit against Cleveland's Slade Ciccone. So, that's as good as it gets, man. Three. After talking about how many sweeps there have been, the only sweep is L.A. versus Cincinnati, which, again, I don't know how you didn't see coming. Like, and I'm not trying to dunk on the Met fan, even after the first call of the show was a Met fan being stupid. I'm pissed off that we didn't get to see Mets Dodgers. I am. I'm pissed off. I don't know if they would have won any of these three games. I have no idea. With their starting pitching, who knows? But it would have been better and more exciting than the Reds, who you knew it was over. You knew it was over. And I also want to congratulate Evan Roberts and the rest of the Afternoon Drive show. 8 o'clock, get plenty of afternoon drive at Yankee Stadium tonight. 8 o'clock start for the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. You can also hit us up on the chat. But on YouTube, you can hit me up on Twitter, at CMACWFAN as well. And I'm just, you know, tonight, it's about, look, we've talked about him a lot. And I just want to say this about Aaron Judge briefly. He's yet to have that moment. There's no doubt about it. He's yet to have that moment, but he's been good this post. Like, I don't know how you can complain about Aaron Judge so far. It's been two games. He has four hits. I know that one of them you could argue is an error. I don't care. He put the ball in play. It was a looping line drive. The outfielder had to run and cover a bunch of ground and kind of leave his feet. He didn't make the catch. It was in his glove. He didn't make the catch. You want to call it an error? I know Evan wanted to call it an error. Fleegs wanted to call it an error. It's probably an error. I don't care. It's a base hit and an RBI. He has got four hits in two games. Last night, he had a rough at bat. And you know, it's funny, too, because I said this, my biggest fear about Aaron Judge, and this is why maybe the postseason at certain times and different teams he struggled with, I hated the double from Grisham in front of Judge, because Whitlock is a really good pitcher, and when Aaron Judge is in a spot where he's not sure whether or not they want to pitch to him, he struggles in those at-bats because he thinks too much. And all the time we see Aaron Judge get caught looking in at-bats like that, because with two outs, base open, Evan Roberts turns to me and gives me the four fingers. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure how Alex Cora is going to handle it. He's like, he's going to walk him. I'm like, I don't know. And then he decides to pitch him. And I said to Evan, I said, he's going to strike out looking. Because I'm just, there's a fear of I'm not going to, especially with two strikes, they're not going to throw me anything close. They're not going to mess around. Like, and he threw a fastball right on the outside corner. But my point is, I'm getting a little sidetracked into the minutiae of last night's game and Aaron Judge struggling when he's not sure how teams are going to pitch to him. This game number three, I trust Cam Schlittler. I do. I don't know what we're going to get from him. It's a rookie starting pitcher in his first ever playoff game, and that just happens to be a game seven scenario against the Boston Red Sox at Yankee Stadium. Like, that's a tough spot to make your first ever playoff start. I don't know what they're going to get from him. I like him better than Connelly Early. I like the Yankee setup better than I like what Boston has to start the game. But I have no idea what we're going to get from the young kid. This has got to be an offense game, right? That's why I'm going through the lineup at the start of this hour. That's why we're breaking down what decisions to make. Because this offense has to score. This has been the best offense in Major League Baseball all year. They have scored the most runs. They have been the most potent. They have had the most big run innings and the most big run games. This is time for one of them. This is time for a laugher. This is time for Aaron Judge to have a big home run. This is time for Giancarlo Stanton to wake up. This is the game where they score 8-9 runs against Connelly Early, making his fifth ever Major League start and first one on the road in a Major League ballpark. Again, Yankees do or die, Yankee Stadium, along with the rest of the bullpen that they all saw last night. I think that is a huge positive for the Yankees. The way the game was managed by Alex Cora last night was managed to win that game. There was no regard for game number three. And I understand why, and I'm sure all of you who hate Aaron Boone and love Alex Cora understand why and think that's exactly how he should have managed it. Fine. You got to win it then. He has put himself and his team at a disservice for tonight. Doesn't mean they can't be good. Doesn't mean his pitchers can't overachieve. It doesn't mean the Yankees hitters don't go silent. But they have seen the entire bullpen in this series now, pretty much. Whitlock just threw 48 pitches. You're starting a young kid who's barely had any major league experience. This offense needs to score runs. That's where this game is won. I don't want another close game where they have to rely on their bullpen. Because I'll be honest with you, as any Yankee fan would, do I think it's an absolute, you know, death sentence to have to rely on the bullpen? No. We saw it last night. That's the same game. The Yankees are now playing their second consecutive game, win or go home. Last night, there's no difference for the Yankees between last night and tonight. The Red Sox are now playing for the first time with that on their back. The Yankees did it last night, and the bullpen came through in the biggest of moments. But let's be honest, how many nights are you going to trust the bullpen to get every out? How many nights are you going to trust the bullpen to get through every situation? The Yankees, the one flaw in this team that has really hurt them all year, has had its moments throughout the year of being stronger and less strong, and right now you kind of feel about as good about it, outside of obviously what Weaver did in game number one, as you possibly can. But you do not want to be at home against what they're throwing and find yourself in the seventh, eighth inning of a tie baseball game, or down a run or up a run. This is the game the offense needs to explode. I'm looking for Giancarlo Stanton, and I'm looking for Aaron Judge. And that's not to criticize him or tell you, like, this is a different playoff series for him. I know he hasn't hit the big home run. I know he hasn't had the big moment where, you know, laces one in the gap with three, with two runners on. He's got four hits in two games and an RBI. That's good. That is a good two games. Tonight's the night he can't be denied. He's got to come through. The Yankees have to come through. They have to score runs. Bottom line. They've got a rookie on the mound and a shaky bullpen. Go score runs. Brian Cashman built a very good offense. He was able, and a good starting rotation, and that's why I was confident in the series. Brian Cashman, I think, did a great job this year. The last year he traded for Juan Soto. Anyone could do that. I'm not saying that was an overly, you know, difficult decision to make. And they did give up Michael King when they probably didn't want to. But from 2020 to 2023, I thought Brian Cashman did a terrible job. This year, he lost Juan Soto and he lost Gerrit Cole. And he built a damn good starting pitching rotation, amazingly enough. And he built the best offense in the sport. They're going to have to rely on those two things because the one failing he had, which is typically his strength, is the bullpen. Go out and score some runs tonight. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Steven Rockwood. What's up, Steve? Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, man. You know, you're right, Chris. They lost Soto. They lost Cole, and they won the same number of games.
Yeah. No, it's right? An impressive job. It is. I think Brian Cashman had a good year, but that doesn't mean much if you don't. You can't lose this series.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's you know, that this whole thing about credit and blame, you know, in this situation is very daunting. But I just want to say that, you know, just watching Stanton He's missed pitches in the last two games that he's been handling handily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's missed a couple of pitches. I don't know. You know, you're right about that. And I want.
I'm sorry, Steve. You're breaking up. I couldn't hear you there. But you did say I'm right, and I don't totally agree. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, how you doing this morning, sir?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Feeling as good as you are, my man.
I'm feeling good.
I got some things I wanted to talk about with the lineup that you were saying.
Yeah.
But before I get to that, can I just mention two things really quickly? Just
go ahead.
All right. So the first one, what Steve just brought up with Stanton, I hope they play him tomorrow. I actually thought he was going to do it today.
Yeah.
But it's coming. You already heard them saying in the broadcast, like, his timing is just a tick off. It's like foul balls that you know should be going someplace or going somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? He is, like, he is an inch or a step away from getting one to, like, rock out the yard. So, like, I hope they play him tomorrow.
Oh, Val.
Please, play him tomorrow.
Val, have no worries. There is no doubt Giancarlo stands in the lineup tonight. There is no doubt.
And then if I could just, and then one other point before I get to my points about the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. We spoke, I think it was Monday night, and I gave you what I wanted my strategy to be to win the game. Both games actually worked out the same way. I had it wrong on Tuesday because I had the wrong uniform. Korver tried to, like, they were both doing that match. And because of Crochet, really, but because of Crochet, he was able to get the better of that strategy, and that's why they won the first one. But oddly enough, we flipped it, and Cora was in a situation where whether you say he went too early or he had to, he went to his, and that's why we were able to do what we were able to do offensively today. And we also had that, like, really wear on them as far as, like, you know, the lineup. But to get to what I really, really called about.
Yeah.
So, you're talking about the lineup, and I just a moment ago, like in that last open you did,
mm-hmm.
I love both perspectives of what you're giving as far as how the lineup should be, but I think two things that you just said just now kind of answer the question for me why I think it's best that we put Rice at catcher, and I'm gonna say the two things like this. One of them you said, especially considering the fact that we're putting Schlittler, and I don't really feel too turned around behind that because I like the kid's composure. And so far in the season, I know the postseason is something different, but so far his poise and his maturity, when you hear him as far as like postgame and stuff like that, he seems like somebody who's level-headed. So I want to say that I have every reason to be confident that this won't be a moment that overwhelms him. I could be wrong, but I feel like that is the case.
Okay.
But that being said, you know, he said it himself, and, you know, the track record is that Rice and him came up together. Well, they didn't come up together, but Rice has more of a familiarity with him, having been in the minors around the same time that he was for a moment or two before he came up. If that makes Schlittler feel that much more comfortable as far as throwing on the mound, I think Rice might actually work out to be, as much as you want to say, because defensively behind the catcher, I think he's more of a liability at first than he is a catcher. And, you know, if Schlittler feels a little bit more comfortable throwing to him, then that might actually work out to be a little bit, especially considering that you still have Wells to go to later on as far as that bench leverage. And then the second reason, you know, you just said it again, too. With what they're throwing tomorrow, I really want my best chance, especially early in the game, to offensively go off on them. And if the best offensive lineup that I can put out there tomorrow includes Goldschmidt at first and Rice at catcher, I hear you, and I'm, like, on the fence.
I get it.
You gave both perspectives, and both of them make a bunch of sense. But for those two reasons, and you said it yourself, that's why I'm hoping and I think they will put Rice at catcher tomorrow.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Val. I think that, listen, I think you made a valid argument for that case. I don't know how much Schlittler, if Schlittler goes to Boone or if Boone goes to Schlittler and asks him about, you know, And Schlittler is very, hey, yeah, Ben Rice is my guy. I feel much more confident throwing to Ben Rice. Then, yeah, I mean, I guess I don't have a problem with it. And when you say he's more of a liability at first than he is at catcher, I would tell you, I hear what you're saying. Like, we've seen more issues with him defensively and letting balls get past him. Almost, you know, again, he made a terrible play. He made a bad play on the great play from Jazz in the seventh. He's got to come off the bag and make sure that he catches that and it doesn't get past him. There was no chance of getting Yoshida at first, and he's still trying to scoop it, and it got by him, and he's lucky that Eaton didn't score from third base. So I hear what you're saying, that we have seen more of the issues, but here's the problem. A liability at first and a liability at catcher aren't the same. They aren't the same. Is he a worse defensive first baseman than he is a defensive catcher because he's caught most of his minor league career? Yes. He probably is a better defensive catcher than he is a better defensive first baseman. But not having your best catcher is more dangerous to me than not having your best first baseman. You understand what I'm saying? So like, I get it. And yeah, the best offensive lineup, I agree with you. Best offensive lineup is Rice at catcher and Goldschmidt at first base. That's the best offensive lineup. But do you want to risk that? You could go either way. You can go either way. I'm fascinated to see how they handle it. Your perspective lineup doesn't drive me crazy. I'm not going to go nuts. The only thing that would drive me nuts would be not playing Jazz, and we've already established. And I think Ben Rice has to be in the lineup. I guess that would drive me nuts. If you get the same lineup as game one, I don't know if it'd drive me nuts. I even speculated maybe doing it. I don't know. I wouldn't be happy. I think you got to have Ben Rice in the starting lineup. I think you have to have Ben Rice in the starting lineup. And I'm okay with no Goldschmidt as opposed to that. But either way, listen, it makes sense. Let's see how they handle it. However, listen, here's the thing. Here's the honest to God truth. You better be right. Whichever decision Aaron Boone makes, and we could justify, and this is what I said before about, because I really think this is, you know, I'm a Boone defender and I'm a Boone guy. I do think Boone is a better manager than people think. You can't lose to the Red Sox 3 times in 8 years. You can't. And me and Evan were talking about this today at the game. He's never lost a series with home field advantage either. You can't lose to the Red Sox 3rd time, lose to them with these 3 games in your building, game 3 in your building with a better pitching matchup. Like, you can't lose this game. And we can go over it about why Ben Rice makes sense at catcher, or why Ben Rice should be at first base, or why anything else. Unfortunately, I can defend any thought process I want. And I have. I fought all night last night pushing back on the idea that taking out Max Fried was crazy. I don't think it was. I think there is a valid thought process to getting him out of the game in that moment. I really did. I had no problem with it. I could have let him go batter to batter. I wouldn't have argued about it. I thought it was a flip of the coin. It was a coin flip decision. You could stick with Max Fried. You could take him out. Either one made sense to me. But I can tell you till I'm blue in the face why. I didn't want to give the bullpen runners on. I thought he really was losing command the last couple innings. I can tell you all the reasons why I thought it was a reasonable move to take Max Fried out of the game. Bottom line is, that decision is why they lost. Even if I can justify the decision, and I feel like I can and tried to last night, and so did Evan Roberts. Like, it's not a, I saw Talking Yanks, and both of them were justifying taking Max Fried out. Like, I don't think it's crazy to take Max Fried out of that game and put in Weaver. I don't. Doesn't matter. Eventually, he just has to be right enough to win a series, win a championship. He just has to be. I can justify all the thought process I want. That decision is why they lost, no matter the thought process behind it. Unfortunately, it's a results business. If he left Max Fried in and they lost the game that way, I'd say the same thing. Listen, you got to push your ace. I get it. I can understand it. I might have gone to the bullpen there, but he left in Max Fried. How can you argue with him? Good thought process. If it lost them the game, it lost them the game. He has to win. It's 8 years now. I can defend and say anything I want about why he went about doing what he did. He's got to win. They can't lose this series. So to me, whatever decision Aaron Boone makes tomorrow, no matter what we think of it, whether it's exactly what Val thinks is right or exactly what I think is right or exactly what 90% of the fan base thinks is right, doesn't matter. It's got to be right. His players have to support him. And going into the game tonight, the bullpen decisions from Alex Cora are going to be interesting. And I want to go through Alex Cora and Whitlock. I don't think Alex Cora handled the end of the game very well, to be honest with you. No one cares. No one's saying Alex Cora did a bad job leaving Whitlock in to Wells and then leaving Whitlock in to give up a base hit to Volpe and walk Ryan McMahon, which boosted up his pitch count even more to over to 48. I don't hear anybody saying Aaron Boone outmanaged Alex Cora last night. But he won the game. Alex Cora lost it. Alex Cora leaving in Whitlock, that decision cost him the game. Right or wrong, cost him the game. And tomorrow night, it's going to be a bullpen game because I doubt Cam Schlittler is going very deep. And Aaron Boone might go to the exact guys you think is right or whatever. If a reliever screws him, it might be his job. That's how it works. This might be a game of which manager's bullpen screws him. Which guy gives up the runs? Who has the big at-bat? Who hits the short porch? It might come down to circumstance that you can't blame the manager for, but ultimately, he's got to win. The New York Yankees have to win this game. There's no excuse. And if they don't, it's going to be hard not to justify a major change in manager. 888-808-1019, quick break. We'll come back at 4 o'clock. We'll go over the game yet again. We'll break down tonight as well. It is on the precipice of a football football Friday. We'll probably get into more of that tomorrow. But let's be honest, we'll be breaking down a Game 7 type Yankees-Red Sox. This is it. Yankees-Red Sox, baby.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.